Keith, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Always nice to be with you, Chris.
Always wonderful to speak with you, Keith. The passing of Raymond Schaefer earlier this month brought renewed attention to his commission looking at marijuana in the early 1970s. First, tell us about that commission and Schaefer's role in it.
Well, it was the official name of the commission was National Commission on Marijuana and Drug Abuse. And it was an outgrowth of some work by former Congressman Ed Koch. A lot of people remember Ed when he was mayor of New York, but even prior to that, he was a member for several terms of the House of Representatives representing a section of Manhattan. And he was a liberal congressman, even though he turned out to be somewhat of a more conservative mayor. When the Nixon administration was pushing through the Controlled Substances Act of 1970, it was a terrible act overall, and certainly the way it dealt with marijuana, you will recall it, it put marijuana in Schedule 1, for example. It acknowledged, the Congress acknowledged at the time that they didn't know which schedule marijuana fit in, but since they were creating under another section of the bill, the one that Ed Koch had managed to get included, they were creating this national commission. And for the specific purpose of advising the Congress on drug policy, they gave them 1 year to make a recommendation on marijuana policy, and on the second year they were instructed to make a recommendation on other drug policy. So because it was a 13-member commission, and half the members were appointed by the congressional leadership and the other half were appointed by President Nixon, and people knew Nixon's views. He had made it clear all along that he had no sympathy for marijuana smokers or drug users, and he wasn't about to come out with anything that would have been considered a reform. So when it began, most of us didn't expect a lot from it, frankly. We kind of figured it was going to be a group of people, half of whom would be appointed by Nixon, and we knew they wouldn't be on our side, or we thought we did, and the other half would be appointed by leaders of Congress, and frankly, they weren't much better on marijuana policy than President Nixon was. So as it started, we saw it as perhaps a step backwards. We weren't sure about what they were going to recommend that we get tougher on marijuana smokers, so we were sort of concerned.
And yet the commission ends up recommending not legalizing marijuana, but not criminalizing marijuana either. This is a set of terms everyone still struggles with today. How did that commission find a balance between those two ideas?
Well, you know what happened? It was a fascinating experience, and it also had a lot to do with the early days of Normal and directing our work. We had founded the organization in late 1970, and by the time the Marijuana Commission began their hearings in 71 or maybe early 72, I think it was in 71, we had contacted the commission and indicated we would like to testify before the Marijuana Commission. After all, we were the only organization in the country at the time that openly represented marijuana smokers, and so we thought it was relevant that they hear our viewpoint. Well, the executive director of the commission got back to me just within a few days with a fairly short letter that essentially said, thanks, but no thanks. We're really not interested in hearing from you. If you'd like to submit a written statement, we'll make it part of the record. So I then went to former Attorney General Ramsey Clark. He had stepped aside as Attorney General not too long before that. I can't remember, maybe in 68 or 69. And he was doing a lot of public work that indicated he was progressive on some of these issues. And I had read a book he had just written called Crime in America, in which he called for the legalization of marijuana. So I decided to try to go meet Ramsey, and it took a while to get through to meet him, but I was finally successful in getting to him. And one of the first questions I asked him, this was early on when I was just thinking about starting Normal, was whether I should even start this project. I was a little concerned it might be the end of my legal career, and it might be a step I would later regret. Ramsey Clark, in fact, said, Keith, do it. It's terribly important to do it, and do it while you're young because you have options now. If you wait till later in life, you know, you'll have a family and you'll have kids, you'll have obligations. You don't have the freedom to do some of the work you might when you're younger. So I had developed a very nice kind of mentoring relationship with Ramsey Clark during those early years. And so when I was turned down by the Marijuana Commission, I went back to Ramsey Clark and I said, Ramsey, would you be willing to testify on behalf of Normal? And he said, absolutely he would. So I went back to the Marijuana Commission and said, well, now I've got somebody that I think you will want to hear from. This is the former Attorney General of the United States. they actually got back in touch with me and said, we're not interested in hearing from you or from Ramsey Clark. So about that point, I really was frustrated. So I went to Jack Anderson, who for a long time had a gossip column in the nation's capital, and it was a place where if Jack decided it was important to get some information out that elected officials maybe were trying to hide, if you got it in Jack Anderson's column, everybody in the nation's capital read it that next morning, and in fact all across the country, because he was syndicated in hundreds and hundreds of papers. So I went to I went to Jack Anderson and said, believe it or not, the Marijuana Commission has said they're not interested in hearing from Normal, they're not interested in hearing from the former Attorney General. This doesn't sound like a very objective group. So he went with a column in a couple of days later that just spanked the Marijuana Commission for having a closed mind and not being willing to listen to new ideas. Well, within a matter of 2 hours, I had a phone call from the same man who had told me previously he was not interested in hearing from us or Ramsey, inviting me to testify, and they also invited Ramsey Clark to testify. And I might add, both of us did testify. So I ended up spending most of the next year and a half traveling around the country every time they had a Marijuana Commission hearing. Some of them I testified at, others I just was there to observe others who were testifying, and we had several other new Normal board members who testified. And during that process, what I learned was Governor Schaefer, former Governor Schaefer then, from Pennsylvania, had a couple of teenage kids. And although he was considered a moderate Republican, I don't think anybody expected he was going to take a stand that would oppose what the president wanted on marijuana policy, because they thought he was ambitious and he might want to run for higher office, or he might want to be considered for a place in the president's cabinet. But in the end, Raymond Schaefer was one of the strongest supporters of decriminalizing marijuana. And as a result, Nixon, I think, frankly, I don't know if they ever spoke again. Usually at the end of a commission, the president has the commissioners over and they have a formal ceremony and they present their report. President Nixon was so irritated with what he had heard their report was going to say that he would not even meet them at the White House. They had to literally leave their report at the White House gate. Now, you ask about decriminalization versus legalization. What the commission basically decided was the most important thing was that we stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. 89% of the arrests every year in this country, marijuana arrests, are for simple possession, but possession of an ounce or two, just people like myself who when they relax, smoke a marijuana cigarette. So they concluded that we needed to stop treating those people like criminals. There was no justification. It was a waste of law enforcement resources, all the usual but good arguments, in this case, endorsed by a presidential commission. They lost their nerve, in my mind, when they got to the legalization question. I think they simply felt it would be considered too radical if they actually went the full step and said, we also ought to legally regulate and control the market like we do alcohol and tobacco. So they tried to cut the baby in half, and it's always been a little perplexing for policymakers, because if it's okay to smoke marijuana, then why is it bad to sell marijuana? And indeed, I agree. I don't think it should be illegal to sell marijuana. But it nonetheless was a magnificent development for the reform movement to have this presidential commission endorsing the principle that we should not be arresting marijuana smokers.
Keith, this commission even went so far as to question the constitutionality of making any pot illegal at all. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. They sort of foreshadowed the decision that in 1975 came out of Alaska, where they were suggesting that the whole concept of right to privacy, the First Amendment, and those kinds of things might, in fact, be violated by these laws that criminalize private conduct. As I say, over the years, as I got to know more of the commissioners and their staff, it was a very professional group of people, and they really were trying to deal with a difficult issue in a rational manner. So I really think this is one of the finest of those national commissions that I've ever seen. I think their work was excellent. They, by the way, what they recommended was no penalty at all for the private possession and use of marijuana. No $100 fine, no nothing else. It's perfectly legal for you to have a small amount of marijuana for your personal use and to share it among friends on a not-for-profit basis. The only penalty they suggested were civil fines for people who smoked marijuana in public. But for private use and for sharing among your friends, they said it should all be legal.
Perhaps the most radical idea proposed by the commission was to drop completely the difference between licit and illicit drugs. and that eliminating that distinction would be better for American society and for American government.
Well, I think that's right. What they were aiming at in their second year report that had to do with the other drugs, they were trying to work towards a medical approach rather than a criminal justice approach. They recognized that even if you're a drug user who uses some of the more dangerous drugs, locking you up in a prison cell was, number one, a terribly costly alternative, and number two, it didn't provide any help to the individual. At the end of the prison term, they hadn't been given any education in most cases or any drug treatment or anything else, so they were simply dumped back out on the street and they would reoffend and they'd be back in prison. So the National Commission on Marijuana and Drug Abuse, again, was well ahead of its time, I think, because keep in mind that during the 80s and the 90s, this country was focused on mandatory penalties and locking people up for, you know, 5 years, 10 years mandatory for having reasonably small amounts of drugs. The country went in a different direction. In other words, the Marijuana Commission had a great impact on marijuana policy during the 70s. We decriminalized marijuana in 11 states after that report came out. And partly, it's because the Marijuana Commission went out of business as soon as they issued their second report. So Normal was the vehicle that took that report around from state to state and identified young legislators willing to introduce decriminalization legislation, and then we would pay to bring in experts to testify in favor of it. So they had an enormous impact for the first decade. We decriminalized marijuana minor offenses in 11 states. However, by the end of the 70s, the mood of the country had turned in a nasty mood going in the other direction. And for the next 15 or 20 years, until when we won Prop 215 in California, we didn't win a single legislative victory. We were on the defensive for more than a dozen years.
And how about Schaefer personally? What was he like? I assume you had to interact with him in the course of this commission.
I did, although I never knew him well. I had a chance to speak with him several times, mainly at commission hearings, when they would take a break and people would be standing around outside the hearing room and you could go up and talk to the commissioners. We got to be good friends with several of the commissioners. Tom Ungerleiter from UCLA, for example, was a marvelous guy who did a lot of work for Normal for years, and he was a member of the Marijuana Commission. Just generally, I think after the initial startup period, they took an entirely different approach. For example, when they were out on the West Coast, they set up some private sessions where the commission members could sit around with adult marijuana smokers, and I don't mean hippies and dropouts and screw-ups. I mean middle-class, successful people, doctors, lawyers, etc., but who were willing to come. What it was, a number of the commissioners had never seen somebody smoke marijuana. They weren't familiar with it, and the staff was smart enough to realize if these guys are going to make a rational recommendation at the end of this, they've got to get more familiar with what this is about. So they actually met on, I think, three different occasions with marijuana smokers and had conversations and spent the evening with them. The result is, by the end of that learning curve, they no longer felt threatened by marijuana smokers. They recognized that it was no big deal and certainly did not deserve to be treated like a crime.
I'm always struck, Keith, that when we look into this 1972 commission and Schaefer's work, that marijuana was originally classified as Schedule I as a temporary measure, until this commission made its recommendation, and that classification never was meant to be a permanent thing.
No, they said themselves when they put it in, we're going to put it here as a kind of a placeholder until the Marijuana Commission comes back with their recommendation and to tell us what to do. Well, the Marijuana Commission told them they should decriminalize small amounts of marijuana, for Christ's sake. They also talked about its potential medical use, so it meant it had to at least go to Schedule II, but as for possession of small amounts, it would have been totally unscheduled. There would have been no penalty at all. But, of course, no one ever went back and rescheduled. There were efforts to do that, of course. Normal was involved for some 17 years in an effort to reschedule marijuana. But by that point, the politics of the issue had become people were stuck in place. And so the conservatives seemed to feel they had an enormous stake in keeping marijuana considered a radical, dangerous activity. It was sort of a leftover from the 1960s when people who smoked marijuana were identified with the anti-war movement, and people who were supporting the war and more traditional Americans began to see marijuana as a symbol of all of the excesses that they didn't like. And so for a long, long time there, we suffered from a bad image, and I think the Marijuana Commission did a good bit to overcome that. Now, again, these reports are effective for a number of years, and then, frankly, people forget about them. And I think today, I doubt that 1 in 100 people have ever heard of the Schaefer Commission report today.
Keith, once these congressional commissions issue their reports, are they only good for a few years? Do they have an expiration date on them? Or can we use them again to make a federal case for reclassification of marijuana? Or do we need a new commission in 2007 if we want to reexamine this issue?
Well, I think effectively, if you had a new, let's say if Nancy Pelosi decided to make this a priority, I frankly don't expect that she will. I think she'll give her support to medical marijuana, where she's always been, but I don't think she'll make a priority for decriminalizing marijuana. But let's assume she did. If she were to do that, her choices are she could either take those studies that have been done, and by the way, they go back much back further too. There was a LaGuardia Commission report way back in the 1940s, and you know, there have been a number of studies over the years, but the biggest, most comprehensive was that Marijuana Commission report. You could make your argument and rely on those existing reports. The problem with that is the opponents will necessarily claim that we've learned more about marijuana since then. We now know that it's far stronger than it used to be, or that it contains several thousand active ingredients. I don't know. I hear all those weird claims all the time. And so I suspect that if you were to really get an elected official in a position that wanted to move this, you probably would say, let's invest another 2 years, let's set up another commission, and let's look at all of the allegations that our opponents are making, and let's find out, should we or should we not finally legalize marijuana? And frankly, if they ever set the commission up and did it fairly, I think that they would, in fact, once again, recommend that we stop arresting smokers. I think they probably would go further and recommend that we establish a legally regulated market. And if you had a new report that said that, then you might have the momentum to actually get Congress to move.
Keith Strupp is the founder of Normal and remains legal counsel to the foundation. Keith, thanks very much again for joining us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Keith is always open to your questions and comments. You can send him an email to foundation@normal.org.